Desiree called me on the phone.
Thank you. Check, check. I always wanted to do that. Desiree called me on the phone. I was shopping at JCPenney's when she called. I've been going through some back problems. My back got hurt in February, and I started taking steroids, and they started to make me fat. Well, the eating that the steroids were making me doing was making me fat. So I was at JCPenney's getting new pants or shorts that fit when she called and said that she wanted me to speak about self-acceptance. And I didn't have it at that time. when I talked to you on the phone, I just recognized such a beautiful spirit. And I'm glad I got a chance to meet you. I'm truly honored to be here. I'm truly honored to be asked to speak at something like this. It's kind of going to my head a little bit. I spoke at the convention, then I spoke at the Tri-State, and then I'm speaking here. And the nice thing is I've got to start a new tradition. My wife's with me. She's not in the program, but she does love addicts, obviously. So we've been staying in bed and breakfasts and coming to these events. So that's our new tradition. You know, when I think about this topic, the first thing I think about is the IP. And she asked me to speak, so I went and I picked up the IP, and I said that I was going to read it every day for 2 weeks before here, and that didn't happen at all. I did grab it off my desk before we left, and I read it this morning while I was sitting on the toilet. I figured it just messed me up anyways, because then I just want to say everything that was in the pamphlet, right? Because we can learn how to talk real well around here. When I first came here, I wasn't talking at all, and nobody was talking to me. It was probably about 2 weeks no one had spoken to me before I got clean. And when I got here, I was so introverted that I would go and get a reading at every meeting just to say my name so I could get up in front of everyone and say, "Hi, my name is Brad, I'm an addict," just hoping that someone would come up and say hi to me, because I just couldn't go and talk to anybody. I was just, not even today I don't even know why it was like that. I was just so broken, I guess. So the first time I seen that pamphlet, I picked it up and read it. You know, it's so nice to have history around here. Like, my clean date's June 9th, 1999, so I've been around here for like 14 years, okay, which is only, June 99 is 13, but I've been coming around for 14, because everyone gets clean after their first meeting.
I did.
So, when I first picked up that pamphlet and read it, the very first thought I had was, I know someone that really needs to read this, which totally misses the whole point of the thing. And, you know, I was thinking about that last night as I was laying awake in bed, and I can't even remember who that person that I wanted to give that pamphlet to was. I just knew that they needed it more than I did. You know, when I got here, I had no idea who I was. Drugs was just everything to me. It was my lover, it was my best friend, it was my constant companion. It was everything. It was everything that I was. And you guys told me that I couldn't do that stuff anymore and live with or without. And at that moment, I began the largest identity crisis of my life. So for me, it was impossible to have any kind of self-acceptance when I first got here, because I didn't know who I was. You know, and the funny thing about this is, you know, recovery is kind of like a giant puzzle, okay? And you don't have the picture of what, like if you ever build a picture or build a puzzle, you have a picture that you kind of like can go by. But in recovery, there's no picture, okay? And then each piece that you have logically looks like it doesn't fit, right? And so what you actually got to do is just kind of like try each piece to see if it works. instead of like saying, yes, this one definitely fits. And as soon as I get one piece together, the whole picture changes and I have to start over again. And as I continue to grow here in recovery, I continue to change. And as that happens, who I am changes. And then I have to begin that process of self-acceptance all over again because, again, I don't know who I am. You know, last year my entire life changed. I decided to go back to school. Before that, I was like this guy who went hiking and took pictures all the time. That's what I would do. I would go to work and then I'd go out in the woods with my camera and just hang out in the woods and do that. Today, all I do is go to school. I'm a completely different person than I was a year ago. And I think that's a good thing. Because I don't ever want to be stagnant around here. This back thing, I got to talk about this. I got to say this too. I was supposed to go to the doctor. I planned to go see the doctor before I came out here, so I was supposed to see him Friday in the morning. And what I do is I get epidural steroid shots right into my spine, which is not very fun. I go to a pain clinic, which is like real embarrassing anyways, because like when I say pain clinic, you know, what do you think of, right? You immediately think junkie, right? You see a picture of it. And it's funny, I go there and there's two people there, right? There's like people there like me getting shots, and then there's the one guy sitting there and his sweat's pouring off him, his girlfriend's sitting outside on a bench smoking one cigarette after another, checking her watch. Then he comes out and he has a prescription in his hand. He's like, I have really great insurance, but some people don't. I heard him up there talking that at $200 a month to go there. So I was supposed to go there this morning or Friday morning and get my shot, and they called that Thursday and said the doctor who gives the shots ain't gonna be there. If you were planning on getting a shot, don't bother coming. But if you just wanted to get your meds filled, that's fine. Now, when I first went there, they gave me a prescription for Vicodin. It's still on paper. I don't know where it is. I gave it to my wife. I haven't seen it since. After going there, they would ask me, "Are you taking your meds?" I'm like, "They know who I was. I told them who I was." I was like, I don't want them, I don't take them. And they just kept at me with them. And so I just started lying to them. I was like, yeah, I know, they're scored. Sometimes I take a half, blah, blah, blah. Just so they would leave me alone. But she called and she said, well, if you just want to get your meds filled, well, you can come on in because the other doctor's going to be here. And my first thought was, man, I could be making a killing here. And then my second thought was, well, I'm a DNA counselor, so I can't get caught selling drugs as a DNA counselor. That's going to look really bad. Who can I get to sell them for me? You know what I've learned over, and you know what, I didn't learn this from me. My sponsor would talk to me, and he turned me on to permission. And what I got to do is, like, I got to learn how to give myself permission around here, right? I got to give myself permission to have some thoughts. I got to give myself permission to have some feelings. Because I'll have a feeling. You know, the crazy thing about the disease of addiction is that it makes me feel shame about how I feel. And that's whether it's right or wrong. Like, you could steal from me, and I will feel shame about being angry at you. Because, like, my head will tell me, well, you know, I work a spiritual program today. I shouldn't be angry. That's a negative emotion. You know, I got to learn how to give myself permission to feel around here and think and just be who I am. And it was really hard to do that. You know, in the beginning it was hard to do that because I didn't know who I was. And then as time went by, it was because I wanted to be like, you know, we're such chameleons around here. You know, and you know, we're standing out here in the middle of nature. And, you know, a butterfly never tries to become a tree. But I'm always trying to be something else. You know, when I first got clean, I had gotten in some legal troubles. And so I was going down the ACJ to get fingerprinted. I dressed up in a three-piece suit and took a briefcase with me. I walked in, they were like signing me in. Some guy's like, "Are you a lawyer?" And I was like, yeah, I'm here to get fingerprinted. And then I can remember like a couple years later, I was running on a Montour trail, right? And I passed this old couple that were walking on a trail. And I was like, "Hello, sir." And then a little bit further down, there was this older black gentleman walking on a trail. And I was like, "What's up?" And then, like, further on down the trail, there's this old guy, and he's wearing a straw cowboy hat. And I can't believe the words came out of my mouth, but they did. I'm running. I'm like, "Howdy." So in less than a mile, right, I was three different people, right? The butterfly was trying to become the tree. So a lot of stuff I did around here was to get accepted. And, you know, and I was thinking about that, too. And, I think that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, like, I don't believe that this program will work for you unless you're sick. You know, like, look, I did not want to call my sponsor, okay? But no one was talking to me. And this guy gave me his number and said, "Call me every day." So I called him just so I could talk to someone. And then he started telling me to do some things. And I was just so codependent that I did them just so that guy would still be my friend, you know. And it got me to this podium today. So because I was sick, because I was trying to fit in, it's almost like the program is designed. I mean, it is. It's designed for the sickest of the sick, you know what I mean? And it wouldn't work. If I was normal and came in here and tried to work this program, I'd probably fail miserably at it, you know what I mean? I really like this meeting. I'm from Beaver County. I like this meeting Saturdays on Genesis 1 o'clock. And just like a month ago, this topic came up: self-acceptance. And I said that I had like 85% self-acceptance today. And I don't know if that's true or not. I'd like to think that it is. There's some people that are sitting here that know me outside of here. There's people that live with me every day, and there's people here that I treated. And I think that I'm the same person in all three places. You know, so that's got to mean that, like, the masks have come off. You know, and I've gotten okay with myself today. And the only way that happens is the sixth step. You know, self-acceptance is about 6 and 7 really here. You know, when we talk about self-acceptance, we're talking about the 6th and 7th step. You know, and it begins in 1. Like, all the steps are interconnected, right? And like, I got to make that big leap of self-acceptance when I come in here and say, "I'm an addict." Right? And that ain't easy. I've been to the psych ward 3 times before I got here, okay? I was picking crazy way before drug addict, right? Which, you know, now being a drug addict with some time under my belt, I was not picking the right thing, right? Because, like, once you're crazy, you're just crazy. You're not coming back from that. That's like the difference between dumb and stupid. Like, if you're dumb, you can learn. But if you're stupid, you're just fucked. Right? And if you're crazy, like, you're crazy. It's not like you can go out and get a new brain or anything, right? Like, they might be able to give you some meds to keep you calm down, but you're fucking crazy. And crazy people don't know that they're crazy, because I was in those crazy places, right? I was up to VA, and this guy's like, he was lost, man. He was like, "They got the wrong guy," and he's hitting his head on the wall. And like, yes, no, they don't. You know? And me, I was glad I was there, because, like, I was safe, you know what I mean? And, you know, just thinking about that. I remember sitting there, and I was on suicide watching the VA, and that was on in April 17. I got clean in June, and they brought me my dinner, right? And they brought me skim milk, right? And I was just so indignant over that. And I asked them, I said, "You got any regular milk?" And now, like, I work in treatment, they were probably, like, thinking, "That guy's an asshole. Like, he's supposed to be killing himself, right? But he wants, you know." He needs the whole milk, you know, for his last meal. I started my four step with 6 months clean. And it took me 6 months to write it. Now, just real quick, when I had 10 years clean, when I had 10 years clean, we were down in Surf City, beautiful beach area on an island, right? And the first thing we do when we get there is I jump in the ocean, and my wife, she has to put everything away, right? She's crazy, right? I'm in the ocean. The second thing we do is we go to Food Lion, right? And we get some produce because we're going to eat real good. I'm going to buy all this fruit. And we turned on the wine aisle, and it's on me. And I just celebrated 10 years clean, like a week ago. And, like, I want to drink bad. And I want to drink the next day, and I want to drink the next day. So when I came home, I did another four-step with 10 years clean. That one took a year to write. But I did my first four-step with 6 months clean. Finished it with a year. And when I sat down to do my fifth step with my sponsor, we sat down with a piece of paper. And as I read that step, he would ask me, what character defect is that? And it started like this. I don't know. And he's like, that's fear. And I would read some more. And when we would, and I'd be, what character defect is that? And I'd be, I don't know. Because I wanted him to do it for me. But as we started to do that, I began to make this list. By the time we finished, I had about 25 on there. And I still have that list at home. It's sitting on my shelf. It's about 47 now. With 48, 49, and 50 still listed there in blank just to help me stay humble. And so I had this list of character defects. And what I learned is, like, I really got 1,000 of them. They just have different costumes. Like, they kind of, like, basically 7 of them. But they have different costumes, and every morning I get up and it goes to the closet and puts one on, and it doesn't tell me what it's going to be wearing that day. I don't believe in organized religion. I practice it for a while. When I had 9 days clean, like, I went and got born again. I'm not trying to talk about religion or bring religion in here. This is just part of my story. And then I went to church for like 5 years and read the Bible. And after about that, I decided I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. There were some things that I didn't buy into. You know, I was here last night listening to Eric speak, and some of the things that he was talking about, I was really in touch. Me and him are really, really good friends. We come up through this program together. I was with him through his clean dates and stuff. I was really in touch with what he was saying. But some of the principles are still sound for me. And, you know, today my disease is character defects. Okay? And today my enemies are my character defects. Those are the ones that separate me from you guys, separate me from the human race. It's the butterfly trying to become the tree. And, you know, I used to tell this lie all the time. It's the biggest lie that I ever told in the program. It's just how I am. Right? And it's not. It is not how I am, okay? It is how my character defects have made me. I learned that lie was something I told myself to keep me from doing some work around here, right? Or, like, I'd be angry at someone and say, well, I'm not ready to talk to them yet. And the truth was I was scared. But those enemies, there's some doctrine that talks about you're supposed to love your enemies. And my character defects are my enemies. So I have to love them. And you guys taught me how to love my enemies is by giving a hug. That's what love is. That's what I learned love was around here, was those hugs. I used to go to Sunday Recovery up on the South Hills every Sunday because Big Al, an old ex-convict, would stand up there and give hugs. And I used to go to that meeting just to get a hug, to get that love. Because, again, there wasn't a lot of people talking to me. So what I need to do is those character defects, I need to embrace them. I need to pull them into me, and through that I accept them. And then I become who I really am. And through self-acceptance, I begin to recognize the God that's within me. And as I hug those in, they begin to change. When I first came around, people used to say things like, I can't do what I used to do when I had like 1 or 2 years clean. And I never understood what that meant until I started to get in time. And there's some things that I just can't do anymore. And I think what that's about is that, that this is a spiritual program, and I come in with a spirit. It's real small, and it's covered up by a bunch of gunk. But as I work the steps, it begins to grow. That God inside me begins to grow, and it begins to push like that other Brad out. You know, sometimes I think it's like a cop-out talking about like the duality of me, like the drug addict Brad and the Brad I'm supposed to be. Because it really is. There's like two of me in there. And like the addict always shows up first. Especially in thought. You know, like I'm a judger. I am definitely a judger. We were driving here this morning. There's this guy on a bike. A pink fluorescent pants. And did anybody see him?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, then you know who I'm talking about. Is it? Does anybody know him before I talk about him? So I'm judging this guy, right? Because you can see him like a quarter mile. People in Pittsburgh are probably seeing him, right? I'm judging him, right? And then it turns out to be this old guy, right, who's just like trying not to get hit by a car and is doing more exercise than me. And so I feel shame. And then I have compassion for the guy, you know, understanding and love. And see, that's the process here. The addict showed up first, the judger, right? And I got to learn how to be still around here, man. Because if I had just like pulled over and said, "Hey, dude, nice outfit." Because a lot of times we used to think people needed to hear from us, right? At least I did. No one wanted to hear from me. But there is two in there. You know, there's this loving guy that all he wants to do is just help people. You know, I notice when I'm thinking about myself, I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. I'm jammed up. But when I'm thinking about other people, you know, I'm happy. When I'm helping other people, I'm happy. So the trick here is like to embrace my character defects, to love myself, I like to use the word permiss myself. I got to permiss myself to be who I am today. It seems that any time that I try to compare myself is when self-acceptance leaves me. You know, I'm in a career, I've been doing DNA for 8 years now, and I don't have a degree. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And but I'm as far as I can go. So I decided to go back to school and get that sheepskin. So I sit in class with 19-year-olds, right? I work around, everyone has a degree around me. And as soon as I start comparing myself to those people, I'm no longer who I am. I've lost my self-acceptance. And that comparing, you know, it's almost like an American thing, right? Like keeping up with the Joneses, right? And it's almost like ingrained in us, right? Got to have the nicest lawn, the greenest lawn, the best lawnmower, the prettiest car. As soon as someone buys these kind of tennis shoes, then everyone has to buy those kind of tennis shoes. It's almost, I mean, America is based in that. My culture, my society is based in this comparison of other people to measure, you know, my success. And that's just not how it's done here, but it's part of my culture. You know, and living in this smaller culture, this subculture, it's hard work, you know, because I want to have peace. You know, the price of having that discontent, that dissonance, is, you know, possible drug use, right? A relapse, right? Because I'm so sick of myself. We can get so sick of ourselves around here. I can get so sick of myself around here that, you know, like the literature talks about, I can back myself into a corner that I can't get out of clean. Maybe think that the only way out of that pain is to use. So I'm no better or any worse than anyone. You know, through the steps, through 8 and 9, cleaning my mess up, I've been able to live with myself, found out that I'm not a bad guy, right? That I am that loving guy. See, you know, I have a theory. Here's a theory. I have a theory that addicts are these loving people, that we just have all this love inside us. And we think that no one's going to love as much as us. So that messes up our relationship. Because if I give you all my love that I have, I'll never get that love back in return. Which isn't really giving. Now we've just turned to trading. Right? And kind of just for today was kind of about trading, right? We'll give and except when we want something back. Then it turns into trading. Right? Like if I give you a cigarette, I'm just giving to you. But if I don't have any cigarettes, I'm like, can I have a cigarette? You're like, no. And I was like, but I gave you a cigarette last week. Now, see, I was giving last week, but today I'm trading, right? So I got this love. It's who I am. I got good traits, bad traits. Sometimes I'm an asshole. I definitely am. And I have to be able to be honest about that, too. But I'm not a bad guy today. You know, and it's because of this program. The program completely changed me. I'm not an introvert. My job, where I work at, I treat about 120 patients a month. And I learn every single person's name, and I greet every single person. Which, when I came here, I couldn't even talk to one of you. You know, so this program has completely revolutionized me. It's made me someone who it's just completely changed me. So I continue to work the steps, continue to clean up the messes that I make, allow myself, permit myself to be human, to make mistakes, to fall short, not be perfect, avoid comparisons. You know, the funny thing is I don't want to be you anyways. You know, I'm happy enough just being me. But that comparison, man, it still comes up regardless. Continue to work on my character defects. The disease always resurfaces. And through that, I gain self-acceptance. Hopefully I keep changing and allowing myself to be the person that I become. That's all I got. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Brittany. I'm an addict. We're just going to open podium now for the remainder. Just limit your share to 3 to 5 minutes so we can share the time.